Welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 183 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In today's podcast, we're going to be continuing our discussion on the church in Smyrna. And we're going to be reading from Revelation chapter 2. I'll start from verse 8. We've basically kind of traded verse 8 and some parts of verse 9. So verse 8 says, "And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things said the first and the last, which was dead and is alive." That's referring to Jesus. And then verse 9 says, "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy." I'm reading from the King James Version. So again, Revelation 2 verse 9. "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan." So last time we met, we said that the church in Smyrna was a church where God had nothing negative to say about them. There's this part of scripture where I believe Jesus says, "The prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me." Basically, Jesus Christ was proclaiming that, see, I'm a perfect vessel. There's nothing in me that the devil has any claim to. The church in Smyrna was that kind of church. Because as I did in the last episode, I kind of broke it down that way. These churches, there were some that God had nothing good to say about, some that God had some good things and some bad things to say about. And then there were a select few, like the church in Smyrna, and I believe the church in Philadelphia, where Jesus had nothing negative to say about them. Those people were on the right track. They were on the right track. They were on the right track. So again, ask yourself, is your life pleasing to God? Or are you the kind of person, because again, what's in your life? Does your Christian life have a little living in that loaf of bread? Are you doing God's will in some parts and not in others? You need to check your life and you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you and work on your ways. And then we talked about how suffering is the part of the life of a Christian. We kind of said a lot about that, so I'm going to move on for the sake of time. So verse 9, I want to kind of break some things down. The first part here says, "I know thy works." Again, the suffering part is part of verse 9, but there's some things I still want to say in verse 9. First part here says, "I know thy works." I know thy works. What does that mean? God knows exactly what you're doing. God knows exactly what you're doing. God knows your works. You can deceive people, but you cannot deceive God. He says here, "I know your works." So, because you see, one big problem in Christendom today is this whole problem of hypocrisy. People are one kind of person in church, you know, but in their secret place, they're like monsters. The thing is, who are you outside of church? Who are you in your place of work? Who are you when you think people are not watching you? When you think you're not being seen? Who are you like when you feel like you're not being seen? He says, "I know your works. I know your works." Because there's this part of the Bible where Jesus Christ says that it's not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," that will enter the kingdom of heaven. It's only people that do the will of my Father. So are you a person that has an appearance of righteousness, but has no real characteristic of righteousness? Because I'm telling you, there are many people you see, they lift up holy hands, they are worshiping on Sunday, they have tears in their eyes during the worship, they are sitting in church, they come for every group event, they come for every service, but those people are very far away from God. Again, the Bible says that man looks at the outward appearance. This was God speaking to the prophet Samuel. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. David may not have had all the bells and whistles on inspection, but the Bible says that he was a man after God's heart. He was a man after God's heart. So again, God knows your works. God knows your works. You know, I'll be paraphrasing, but there's this part of scripture of the New Testament that I love that says that, you know, "Nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord standeth sure." The Bible says the Lord knows them that are his. He knows. God literally knows. God literally knows. He knows them that are his. And then he says, "Let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. What does that mean? It basically means that if you're saying, Lord, 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 make sure you're actually departing from iniquity. If you're a person that is naming the name of Christ, you're saying, Lord, 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 make sure you're actually departing from iniquity. Because the problem is there are many people that say, Lord, 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 but they have not departed from iniquity. Some people are social Christians. They are Christians in word, but they are not Christians in character. There is a certain comfort that some people have from saying that, oh, I have said that prayer of salvation. I say Lord, Lord on Sundays. But you see no change in their lives. Their lives are basic. There's literally no difference between their lives before they said the prayer of salvation and their lives after they've said the prayer of salvation. The only difference is that, oh, they just said the prayer of salvation. Again, let me tell you this, brethren. Saying the prayer of salvation is one step towards being with God in eternity forever and giving your life to Christ. But it's a lot more than that. Again, there's a narrow gate and there's a narrow way. Many people focus on that verse, enter by the narrow gate. The narrow gate, you've given your life to Christ and everything, but there's a narrow way you need to walk. There's a narrow way you need to walk. And the gate of heaven is narrow. It's a narrow gate. It doesn't allow people that are carrying that baggage and luggage of sin. That's just the truth. So just be careful. God knows your works. You may think you're deceiving people. You may say, Lord, Lord. But the thing is, you won't deceive anybody on the day of judgment. People will see, right? I feel like on the day of judgment, there's going to be a lot of shocks that go on. A lot of people that you're like, wow, I totally thought this person would make heaven. And they don't. And then people that you're like, no way, there's no way this person is making heaven. And then they did, right? Like, for example, look at the story of the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross, anyone that looks at his life on the outside will be like, there's no way this person is going to make heaven. But he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ in the end. So when we get to heaven, we're going to see that man. We're going to see that man. So I'm just trying to tell you to ask yourself today, what are my works? What are my works? Because Jesus Christ was very specific. This may actually end up being the only thing we'll talk about today. I know thy works, not your words, not your words, not your tears during the service, not your I go to church all the time. No, I know your works. What do you actually do? Again, the Bible says, let him that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You actually need to depart from iniquity. You can't say, oh, I've said the prayer of salvation, so that's all I need to do. No, there has to be a behavioral change. You need to be studying the word of God. You need to be meditating on it. You need to be applying it to your life. You need to actually be doing what the word of God says. That's a very, very important thing to keep at the back of your mind. Right? So God knows your works. Are you a pastor and you're deceiving the flock? God knows your works. God knows your works. Again, there's so much hypocrisy in the church. That's the truth. But God knows your works. He knows your works. Man may not know. You may be deceiving man, but God knows. Are you one person in church and then at home, you're like a monster to your wife. You're a monster to your kids. God knows your works. You may be smiling on Sunday and hide yourself behind a nice suit, a nice shirt, a nice tie, nice pants, and a nice shoe. But God knows your works. It's not coming to church on Sunday again, like I said, that will feed you into heaven. It's actually doing the will of the Father. It's not everyone that says, Lord, Lord. Where do you find people that say, Lord, Lord? You find them in church. You do. That's literally where you find them. The Bible is saying, it's not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, is going to make it to heaven. It's only those that do what? Do the will of the Father. Do the will of the Father. Do the will of the Father. Because again, this love gospel that, oh, you know, God loves you. Yes, God does love you. But God also does punish people for sins. God absolutely loves you. But God absolutely punishes people for sin. You know, God is love. Because again, that's one area where many churches have missed it. And it's, again, very popular brand of message that's preached these days. That, you know, God's love. Love everyone, right? Love everyone. Love upon them. Even if they're just walking in sin. Oh, that. And there were, people will bring this rejoinder that, oh, Jesus ate with sinners. Yes, he did. He did. He did. But he still preached his word to them. He still wanted them to be saved. He still wanted them to be saved. So you just have to be really careful about this love, love, love. That, oh, you know, I can say a prayer of salvation, live whatever life I want, you know, live according to the dictates of my flesh. And, you know, because God loves me so much, he won't want me to suffer. He will just take me to heaven regardless of how I've lived on earth. No, you're literally walking in the seat. You're going to be shocked on the day of judgment. You don't want that. Because let me tell you this, God does not tolerate sin. God does not tolerate sin. There are many churches today where sin is heavily tolerated. Again, I know some of these words I'm saying right now, it's hard to hear. But honestly, it's the truth. Because again, what am I trying to preach to you? I'm trying to preach scripture to you. I'm trying to preach scripture to you. Like literally what's in the Bible, not some opinion of man. Or not some stuff that is easy on the hearing. Again, it's not every transforming message that is easy on the ears. That's just the truth. There are messages that will transform your life, but it's going to prick your heart. Just like the Bible says, after the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching, the Bible says that the people in the audience, they were cut to the heart. That message was not an inspiring message. It was a convicting message, but it transformed their lives for those that ran with it and obeyed it. So people are like, oh, God's love will cover me. No, the thing is, if you're carrying sin in your life, God wants to forgive you. He wants to have mercy on you, but he also wants you to change your ways. Because look at it, even the Son of God, Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth in the form of man to die for us, when he carried the sins of the world, what was he asking God? He said, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God literally left him because he was like, you're carrying sin. You're carrying sin. You're carrying that burden of sin, right? So again, even the Bible says that the prayer of a sinner is an abomination to the Lord. The thing is, again, you cannot be carrying sin in your life and expect God to operate in your life. You cannot be saying, oh, I'm just going to keep living the way I want to live, even if I've given my life to Christ, even if I've said the prayer of salvation. No, again, our God is love. Our God is love. But if you read, I think either Hebrews 12 or Hebrews 13, that I think literally the last verse of any one of those scriptures, it says, my God is a consuming fire, right? That fire is the fire of judgment. So again, just be very, very careful. Very, very careful. Many people, they basically discuss this love gospel, but they describe it in the wrong way. The Bible says you should rightly divide the word of truth. There are many people that incorrectly divide the word of truth. They extend love to say, oh, any kind of sin, oh, it's fine. We're good. We're going to stand on board. No, God does not stand on board with iniquity. Just get that into your mind right now. Because again, many churches, you see many worldly habits, many worldly behaviors. The church now tolerates those worldly behaviors. Why do they tolerate those worldly behaviors? Because again, they're like, oh, we want to make sure that all our seats are full. We want to make sure that we don't face any backlash from the community around us. We want to make sure we don't face any backlash from the government. It's better to take backlash from your community, better to take backlash from the government than to take backlash from God. That's just the truth. That's just the truth. That's just the truth. The apostles is not everyone that loved them while they lived on earth. Many people hated them, but they were doing God's will. Again, one with God is majority. It's not in the Bible, but it's a common expression, which is true. One with God is majority. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they decided to take a stand that they would not bow down to the graven image that Nebuchadnezzar set up, that was an unpopular opinion. What they were doing was unpopular because they were not the only Israelites in the land of Babylon. There were many Israelites at that point. And many of those Israelites bowed down before that graven image, but they took a stand. They took a stand. They took a stand. Their surroundings may not have loved them, but they shone for God. I'm telling you, as darkness is greater and greater, then the shine of light becomes stronger and stronger. Their light shone. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men. Not just shine, but let it so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So again, I'm encouraging you today, be careful of this love gospel. It has led many people astray. It is leading many people astray and will continue to lead many people astray. That's why you always see me say, go to a Bible-believing church, not a church, a Bible-believing church, a Bible-believing church. Because when you go to a church that is not Bible-believing, you're going to be led astray. right? Like you see many churches, like many of the vices of society today, they condone those things. Even the pastors of those churches are the ones doing those things. Again, we're going to be all very surprised on the day of judgment. We're going to be really shocked on the day of judgment. And the thing is, Jesus has predicted this shock. He said, as I round up today, it's not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, that'll make it into the kingdom of heaven. It's only those that do what? Do the will of my Father. Those worldly vices you are tolerating, those are not the will of the Father. Are you still doing those things? Ask God for mercy today. Recommit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ today. If you want to do that, I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I confess that I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I've tolerated the ways of the world. I've tolerated the desires of my flesh. I confess these sins before you. Have mercy on me. I believe you died on the cross to set me free from sin. Cleanse me in your blood. Come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. Give me a brand new beginning. Write my name in the book of life. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to trust you and obey you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And Lord, I pray for everyone listening to this podcast, including myself. In any way we have lived in hypocrisy, Lord, please have mercy on us. You know our works. My Lord and my God, let our works be found to be worthy of you. Because Lord, in the book of Daniel, there was one of these kings, I can't remember the name now, maybe it was Belshazzar or whatever. And the Bible says that a writing came on a wall. And that writing was Mene Mene Tekel Upharsin. And one of the meanings of one of those words is that you've been weighed in the balance. You've been found to be wanting. That was a person that, he seemed to have all the bells and whistles. But after he was weighed, he was found to have no substance. Lord, please, I don't want to be that kind of Christian. I don't want to be that kind of person that says, Lord, Lord. And then they say, you say, Lord, Lord. You call yourself a Christian. Let's put you in the balance of God. Let's see what God's balance thinks of you. And then I'm found wanting. Please, Lord, I don't want to be found wanting. I don't want the listeners of this podcast to be found wanting. Heavenly Father, please just help us to obey you. Please help us to obey you. Please help us to love you. Please help us to truly do your will. Because again, it's only those that do the will of the Father. Help us, Lord, to do the will of the Father. You know our works. Give us the grace to take that personal responsibility by the help and the grace of your Spirit to do your will. To do your will. Because Christianity is serious business. It's not just a prayer of salvation. It's a life change. It's a life transformation. So Lord, I'm just praying that you please help me. Please help every listener of this podcast. Because Lord, we are weak. But your word says in our weakness, your strength is made perfect. Please help us, Lord, to hate those things you hate and to love those things you love. And Father, may your name be glorified in our lives. Thank you, Most High God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, for those that just said the prayer of salvation, congratulations, you're a child of God. Basically, I want you to do three things. Number one, listen to episodes 96 to 101. 96 to 101 on the website. It's titled The 5 Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will teach you specific things you need to do so you can grow your walk with God. Number two, find a Bible translation you understand. I love the New Living Translation. Read it. Make it a daily habit. I talk more about this in episodes 96 to 101. But read the Bible. Think about what you have read. Pray with what you have read. And do what you have read. As you do so, you'll be obeying God. And your life will be heading in the right direction. Number three, find a Bible-believing church. Not a church. A Bible-believing church. Find the place where the true, pure, undiluted word of God is preached. When you go to that church and he preached something, go back, be like the Berean Christians. Go back and check in scripture. This thing that this pastor said, does it tally with the original blueprint of God's word? If he does, that's probably a good place to go. If he doesn't, or you see a church that's preaching all these new age traditions, or they're preaching that, it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that, when the Bible clearly speaks against these things, walk away from that place. Don't let your salvation get on a shipwreck as a result of that. So by the grace of God, I'm going to continue with Smyrna part 3 on Sunday. So have a wonderful weekend ahead. And I pray God's blessings upon your week, upon your weekend, upon your family, upon your career, upon everything you lay your hands to do. And I pray that you are covered in his blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Shalom.